The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Well, believe it or not, this July marks 60 years since the release of the Beatles' debut feature film, A Hard Day's Night. The film was released just 20 months after their first single, and it helped catapult the mop-top quartet to worldwide success. Now, tonight, Beatles historian Mark Lewison presents an extended conversation celebrating that film. It's taking place at the Pavilion Theatre in Dunleary, and Mark will be joined by Jason Carty and Stephen Cockcroft, hosts of Nothing Is Real. It's the number one Beatles podcast, which has racked up some 3 million downloads and received plaudits from all over the place, including the New York Times. And Jason and Stephen join me on the line. Good morning and welcome.
Hi, Pat. Good morning. How are you?
Now, let's talk about you two first, because you're not full-time podcasters. You have other lives. Jason, tell me about yourself.
Well, my day job is I'm a medic and sort of an IT person. So I'm busy enough in my day life, as well as being a dad to three kids. So, this podcast sort of began as what was initially a hobby and a labor of love. And it just spun into a whole other world of downloads and meeting people from all around the world.
And Stephen, what about your day job?
My day job, I'm a lawyer in Belfast. So if you want to buy a house or a shopping centre, that's my day job.
You're the man.
I'm the man.
How did you two cross each other's paths?
It was kind of, there was a magazine years ago called The Word Magazine, and this is in the early 2000s, and they used to have these mingles where readers from the message board could just meet in a pub and chat about music in person as opposed to online. And that's where I think we met Stephen first, wasn't it?
I think that's the first time we met, yeah. And then after that, there's a great chap in Dublin called Stephen Kennedy that every year runs a sort of a Beatle weekend to mark the anniversary of the Beatles playing in Dublin. And he organised a quiz every year. And Jason and I and two of our friends entered the quiz, and I think we came fifth or sixth. We certainly didn't win the first year. And after a couple of years, I have to say the two friends didn't turn up and left Jason and I on our own, and we won the quiz. And off the back of that, we decided, a podcast might be a lark.
Okay, well, we'll talk about the podcast in a moment, but going back to Jason and your love affair with the Beatles, how did it start? How old were you? What do you remember first?
I remember a couple of things. It kind of happened in a couple of stages. I was born in the mid-70s, so I was kind of getting into music in the mid-80s. And, I had a tape of Beatles music from films, a compilation called Real Music. But I think the real thing that plugged me into the Beatles was there was a huge hubbub, people might remember, in 1987 at the 20th anniversary of Sgt. Pepper. It was 20 years ago today, and there was a big reissue and there was a big documentary. And I remember at that time plugging into all that kind of stuff. And it just seemed fantastic, even though when you're older, 20 years goes by in the blink of an eye. But when I was a kid, seeing this thing from 1967, it just seemed utterly fantastic and magical.
And for you, Stephen, when do you remember hearing your first Beatles song?
Well, I have a very clear memory. I'm much older than Jason, so I was born in 1963. And I remember when I was about 9 or 10 years old, the film Help was on the TV, and I was watching that on my parents' black and white television. And I have a very clear memory of them running along the beach at the end of that film. And so that was really my first encounter, and my mother had to sort of explain to me that they weren't really actors. They were actually a real band. So then at the weekend, we went out and bought a Best of the Beatles compilation, and that was the start.
And that was the start. Now, how intense, and both of you can answer this question, how intense was your interest in Beatle trivia, Beatle stories, their private lives, their music, of course, which is, I suppose, the length of their career was relatively short. Obviously, they had Germany and all that before the release of Love Me Do. But as a band, I mean, it was less than a decade.
It's essentially 7 years from when Ringo joined the band, and John, Paul, George and Ringo were in a room together for the first time in August 62. And the last time they were in a room together was in August 69. So it's 7 years where they did an awful lot. And I think Stephen's probably like myself, there's so much to read about the Beatles. It's not just like the music is fantastic, but the whole story, the history, the social history, is ferociously interesting. There's so much to read. And I think, you know, when we would go to the things like Beatle quizzes and all the rest, we just realized that we had an insane amount of Beatle knowledge in our brains that we just assumed everybody had, but they don't.
Yeah. So go on, Stephen.
I was going to say, I think that's absolutely right. I mean, the music is great, but the story of those four individuals, how they interact with each other, how they impact on the people in their immediate circle, and then in the wider sort of society in the 60s, which was a period of so much change anyway. But I think, you know, all human life is in that story of those four individuals.
Yeah, that they were pals, I suppose, with the exception of Ringo, who was later replacing Pete Best as drummer. But they grew up as pals, and you can see the evolution of George's influence from being the kid in the band who played pretty good guitar to being a songwriter in his own right. But even he seemed to suffer from almost an inferiority complex in offering his songs to the other two.
I think if you're in a band with John Lennon and Paul McCartney, I mean, that must be quite overwhelming. And I think that is true. You know, he didn't write his first song until 1963. But what I would say, I'm a big fan of George. What I would say is that first song made it onto a Beatles album. You know, John and Paul had years of perfecting their songwriting and that craft before they ever released an album. George was sort of learning from them and inspired by them. But, you know, I think he got off to a good start. And I think Here Comes the Sun is the number one streaming song by the Beatles. So I think George was playing the long game there, I think.
Nobody knew that healthcare could be so complicated.
Trump was a failure on healthcare.
Hundreds of thousands of Black Americans lost healthcare insurance. That is outrageous.
And if he's president again, he would cancel insurance for millions more of us.
We cannot go back. President Biden and Vice President Harris have lowered healthcare premiums and expanded coverage for Black families. They also capped the price of insulin at $35. Joe Biden is getting the job done for people just like me.
I'm Joe Biden, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Biden for President.
Yeah, the trivia, I suppose, many people who know nothing about Liverpool know little enough about the Beatles. They hear these songs, which sound terribly exotic, you know, Penny Lane. Well, actually, it's a place. Strawberry Fields. It's actually a place. When you're doing your podcasts, do you do that kind of dissection?
We kind of go anywhere and everywhere. There was a great book that came out a few years ago called Dreaming the Beatles, which, you know, makes you try and pull all these connections together. So we will look at, on the podcast, we've looked at very big topics. So we might just look at the Sgt. Pepper album, big, obvious topic. But we will also look at smaller connections, like we've done an episode on all the songs where Paul McCartney sings about birds, you know, which you might think isn't interesting. But when you start to string that together, it does tell a story. Or we know an awful lot about where the Beatles lived. We know an awful lot about their houses. And that also tells a story. So, it, you know, the thing that's amazing about the Beatles is it's interesting because they did it. You know, they made things interesting.
Can you solve the riddle then? Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds, is it about LSD?
I think we can say fairly definitively, that's just a coincidence. You know, that's been looked at, and it was a drawing that one of Julian Lennon's school friends had done, and he brought it home, and Lennon just liked the sound of the words. I think Lennon, you know, his imagination was, he's great into wordplay, and he would just take an image or a newspaper headline or a drawing like that and turn it into a song. But I think the Beatles' career is full of those sorts of coincidences.
I mean, they were magpies. They picked up all sorts of things for Sgt. Pepper, you know, from old posters for the benefit of Mr. Kite. But tell me this, who was Polythene Pam?
do you want
to
answer
Mark
that question?
To tell us the story.
Yeah, tell me, you know, she was so good looking, she looked like a man. Come on. Who was she?
I think it's probably too early in the day to go into the details of who Polythene Pam was.
Okay. Rita, Mita Maid?
Well, that's another controversial one. There is a lady who claims she was the Rita Mita Maid. I remember she was on BBC News in the 1980s when she retired, claiming she was the influence. But I think that one's a little bit more broad, isn't it, Stephen?
It is. I think Paul just took it sort of general inspiration. I don't think he was dealing. He has denied that there was a specific parking meter made inspired that. It was just a general thing. But yeah, they just drew on everything, particularly sort of post 66, 67. They were just absorbing everything and turning it into a song and incorporating it into their music.
I was looking at a piece of video last night, an interview with Ringo Starr. And he was saying that himself and John would have been, you know, happy to, you know, laze through their days, but that Paul was the workaholic. And without Paul cracking the whip, they would not have made as much music as they did.
It's fascinating. You look at, you know, everybody, you know, there's been a lot of talk in recent years. You know, the Let It Be movie was reissued last week, and the Get Back documentary from the same footage came out a year or two ago. But they were so productive, even in their last year. You know, they essentially made four albums worth of material in the last 12 months of their existence. You know, if anything, they kind of accelerated towards the end. Maybe they subconsciously knew they were heading towards the end. But it's, you know, Paul, I've seen that interview with Ringo. It's very funny because, you know, Paul used to live. He still does live essentially a 2-minute walk from Abbey Road. He's got a very nice townhouse in St. John's Wood. So Paul would always be first at the studio, ready to go, and was never... You know, that was his happiest place, I think.
How often do you put out a podcast?
Well, we've been on the go for 5 years. We've just kind of started a hiatus, to be honest. But there's over 180 episodes available wherever you get your podcasts. And so we've done about 8 seasons in the last 5 years and a bunch of bonus episodes as well. So we're taking a little bit of a break and doing other things like tonight's conversation with Mark in Dunleary.
And that's in the Pavilion. A few tickets left, and I expect they will sell out fairly instantly. So it's Mark and yourselves doing that. Last question, guys, I have to ask you. We'll start with you, Stephen. Favourite Beatles album?
Probably the White Album from 1968.
Because the most complex.
Most complex. It's so diverse. You can, no matter how many times I listen to that, I always hear something new when I go back to it.
Mm-hmm. And Jason?
I still go for Sgt. Pepper because, you know, when I was a kid, it was seen as the best album of all time. And it's kind of slipped down the rankings in recent years. You know, people prefer the White Album and Abbey Road. But I think Sgt. Pepper, you know, I know I have an emotional attachment to it, but I think it's still underrated. It totally sticks out from their entire catalogue. It's its own thing.
All right. Well, I will nail my colours to the Abbey Road mast, particularly the last few minutes, the B-side. It's just a fantastic album. Anyway, look, it's been great talking to you guys. Thank you very much for joining us. Jason Carty and Stephen Cockcroft, co-host of the Nothing Is Real podcast. All the episodes available wherever you get your podcasts, and they're at the Pavilion Theatre tonight. Thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.
Nobody knew that healthcare could be so complicated.
Trump was a failure on healthcare.
Hundreds of thousands of Black Americans lost healthcare insurance. That is outrageous.
And if he's president again, he would cancel insurance for millions more of us.
We cannot go back. President Biden and Vice President Harris have lowered healthcare premiums and expanded coverage for Black families. They also capped the price of insulin at $35. Joe Biden is getting the job done for people just like me.
I'm Joe Biden, candidate for president, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Biden for President.